You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
P3, it's the original protein. Get that protein. Get it in your belly. P3, getting grilled. We're going out of the podium. Defense coordinator Jim O'Neill.
All right, before I get started, I wanted to congratulate Ryan and Julie Downard. One of the members of our coaching staff had a baby boy last night, Jackson, early this morning. Wouldn't surprise me at all if Ryan was already fitting him up for a helmet. So I know they're pretty excited. As far as the game on Monday night, I thought defensively we played hard. I loved how our guys finished the game. I thought we had two critical stops at the end of the game there. We had some guys make some key plays throughout the game. We're still working hard as a group on trying to be more consistent throughout the course of the game, not allow those long drives that lead to touchdowns. So that's something we need to get cleaned up. We're looking forward to this week against the Bengals. We know it's going to be a great test here at the Dog Pound.
It seemed like you were saying, you just mentioned the drive. Is one drive really bothered you? It was the long drive that they had. They only got a field goal out of it. They chewed up a ton of time. They converted a fourth down like on their own 25. Is that the one that kind of sticks in your craw a bit?
Yeah, well, any time you're on the field for that long, I mean, it comes down. You got to get off the field on third down, you know, or fourth down. So that's the most important thing. And I think we had them. We were pretty good, actually, on third down. They were 2 of 11 for the game. So we were good on third down, but, you know, there were a couple things that a couple mistakes we made throughout the drive that gave them some things. But, you know, they did a good job executing on that drive. So, yeah, that's, you know, you don't – teams shouldn't be allowed to methodically move the ball down the field on you.
What do you have in mind to stop Tyler Eifert this time?
Schematically, you know, it's tough, you know, because they have a lot of other weapons on their offense. So you can't just say, hey, we're going to stop one guy and then leave the rest of those guys out there on islands all by themselves. But anytime you have a bigger tight end that can run and he's got wide receiver ball skills, he creates mismatch problems. But we have some stuff in the game plan to help guys out, some stuff coverage-wise to take some things away for them.
Dante Whitner didn't play in that game, right? He had a concussion.
Yep.
So how did that affect his Eifert success?
Well, the one touchdown Eifert had, he was out aligned as a wide receiver, so he was on a corner. So Whitner wouldn't have been on him there. One of his other touchdowns was when we were in goal line, and he just kind of popped free late in the play. We had him covered early, and then he did a good job kind of breaking off his route and zoning off. But Whitner's definitely, he's one of our better man cover guys, so he'll be on him some.
Jim, not just against you guys, but he's had a huge year. I think he's leading the league in tight end,
yeah.
You know, in touchdowns. What's kind of gone right from this year as compared to last year's, I guess?
Well, I think he's a really good football player. I think the quarterback's playing really well, and they have explosive players on the outside, so you can't just say we're going to shut down this tight end, because if you do that, there's – A.J. Green out there. I mean, they got some guys that you got to worry about. So they're doing a good job offensively. You know, they got weapons all over the place.
How did before he was injured, your impressions of Gilbert, obviously started him,
yeah.
And then Gaines in his second game?
Yeah, it was obviously frustrating that Justin got hurt. I think he got 17 plays. He didn't get tested all that much. Yeah. I thought he did some good things. You know, he did some things technique-wise that we still need to get cleaned up with him. There's one play I'm sure he wishes he had back. There was a play we worked all week. They actually had a big gain on it. And if we just execute the coverage the right way, it's probably an interception. So I know he was frustrated with that. But like I said, it was frustrating that he got hurt because I was excited to see him out there for a full game because of how well he practiced throughout the bye week and then the week leading up to that game.
The decision then, I think you alluded to that a couple weeks ago about maybe not playing in the Pittsburgh game. Your decision to actually start him was just based on that he's been improving that much in practice?
Yeah, we rolled those guys throughout our practices during the bye week, And then, you know, we made a decision going into the, to the week of that game that, you know, Justin was going to start the start that week as a starter. And he was going to have to continue to earn it. And he had a really good week of practice. So that's how we rolled into the game.
Sacks in 10 games for you guys. I take away the Tennessee game.
Okay.
How frustrating is that? And have you exhausted attempts to try to...
Yeah, I like I said it before, the sack numbers, I'm sure some of the players, you know, they get into some of that stuff. I don't as a coaching staff. I mean, our coaching staff doesn't. I don't. I think we had 14 or 15 quarterback hits or hurries in that game. If you watch the last two series, I think we did a great job affecting the quarterback. I think that's one of the reasons Tremont had to pick to set up the game-winning field goal. I think Dez Bryant has done an unbelievable job rushing the quarterback the last few games. I think people are really struggling to block him. So again, would I love to have more sacks? Yeah. Do the guys want to have more sacks? Yeah. But if we're affecting the quarterback, that's just as good for me as sacking him. So, you know, I do think that Baltimore did a good job. You know, they ran a lot of seven-man protections against us, and they got the ball out quick, you know, with the quarterback in his first start in 2 years. So there was a lot of quick throws. We had free runners. We had guys winning on rushes. The ball was just getting out.
Can you talk about Carlos Dansby? He led your team in a lot of categories. So what is he really doing well for you?
He's doing a great job in us, obviously, in coverage. He's got two pick sixes, and he's one of our leaders. You know, Carlos and Whitner are our two leaders on defense. So he's done a great job kind of keeping everybody positive, you know, and keeping everybody going, you know, talking to the guys and just doing his job. So.
But is he part of the reason the run defense isn't better, or is that not really?
No, I'm not going to put it on one guy. I mean, it takes all 11 to stop the run. You know, he's done some good things. You know, he's been inconsistent at times, just like everybody has been on the defense. But no, it's not on him. He's done some good things for us.
Jim, when a team goes for it on fourth down,
backed up, I think they went for it on their 25. Do you view that differently than if they go for it in a different part of the field? Like, I don't know, they don't think you can stop them?
No, he's done that all year. He's done that. I mean, that was something that even in our first breakdown, he's done. I mean, that's who he is as a head coach. And when you have two or three wins, you're going to be more aggressive than what you normally would if you're, you know, 9-2. You can take more risk.
This question is about three guys who theoretically could be building blocks to try to get something going on defense with some of your high draft picks. Kirksey, Orchard, and Cooper. Could you break down how each of those guys is coming along and how he projects as a...
I'll start with Kirksey. I think that Kirko's had a very good year for us coverage-wise. I think he needs to continue to improve in the run game. I think he has. I see Kirksey quickly becoming a three-down player for us probably in the next year or two where he doesn't come off the field, whether it's at Mike or Will. But he's a guy that... he's got rare ability to coverage. He can run. He's athletic. He's a guy we're excited about as a defense. You can definitely build it around him, and he could be a core player as he grows up in this league. Nate, as a rookie, I think he's done a great job coming in and learning the outside linebacker position. He played exclusively at defensive end, where all the coverage stuff was very foreign to him in college. I think that as he plays more in this league, you'll see his production go up. I think he's very, like most rookies, I'm going to get my job done. I'm going to do my job. I'm going to let the plays come to me. As he plays more, he's got that playmaking ability. You'll see quarterback hits, sack numbers, more plays in the run game for him. And the third guy you said was? Yeah, Coop. Coop's, you know, we've talked about it all the time. Again, I think that it's hard for rookie D linemen to come in and have an immediate impact in year one in this league. I think Coop's going to make a lot of plays just because of his first step quickness and his pass rush ability. And again, he's a guy we're excited about. We're asking him to do a lot more stuff up front at the D line position than what he was asked to do probably in college. He's learned multiple positions for us because he's got to be a backup at several positions. But he those are all three guys that we're excited about and guys that we see as building it around in the future.
Do you keep any tabs on Efo at all?
Yeah.
He's one of those like separation from the herd type.
No, he's done a great job. He's in every meeting. We give him projects. He studies the opponent, and then he presents it to the group. He's working his butt off in the rehab stuff. So, it's not like a deal where we drafted him and he's gone. It's almost been like a redshirt year for him, in college where he's been able to come in. He's learned the whole defense. He's obviously not repping it because of the injury. But he's a guy that I'll be excited to see once OTAs come around. See where he can help us. Can he help us as an inside corner, an outside corner? But I've been very impressed with him as far as his ability to pick up the defense, ask good questions, study the opponent, help the guys out. Okay, this is what I'm seeing. Study splits, study how they release. And all of our guys that are on the practice squad or all the guys that are IR'd are a big part of that. Scott Solomon does that for us in the outside linebacker room. Dylan Wynn does that for us in the D-line room. So we keep all those guys involved in what's going on week to week. So if we ever have to bring them up, they're ready to go.
So he stands in, like you talked about this project, he will, in the DB room, he'll present?
Yeah, all of our guys do. All of our practice squad guys, yeah. The coaches will give them small projects. Mm-hmm. When Hayes Pollard was here, on the practice squad, he would study all the running back releases, when they release from the backfield. Just a small project, and he presents it, to Kirko and Craig and Lowell's, and it's just his way of helping. But it's teaching those guys how to study tape, and they feel a part of it then.
That's Browns defense coordinator Jim O'Neill talking about this team. Efo, somebody everybody wants to see at cornerback, getting kind of that redshirt year this year. Excited to see him in OTAs next year, aren't we all? And I'll tell you what, when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. And not only that, we will go ahead and we will take a look at the matchups once again. Defense versus defense. Browns, Bengals, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.